So as I mentioned at the beginning of Mass, we celebrate today one of these special solemn feast days that kind of move us out into ordinary time every single year. We spend a whole long spring every year going through what's called the Paschal Mystery Cycle, a long Lent of preparation so that we can get into Holy Week, zero in on the death and resurrection of Christ, who is shown to us as the Son of the Father, and then all of Easter to run out to take in the truth that Christ is risen, that he lives in his church, and then Pentecost caps it off with the coming of the Holy Spirit. So after all of this beautiful mystery about being shown who is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we cap it all off with this extra Sunday solemn feast day today, which focuses on the mystery of the Holy Trinity itself. The fact that God is one, yet three, this mysterious Christian understanding of who is God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. They are three persons. They are unique in the relationship to each other. They're complementary, which means that they fit together and make one unified whole out of their unique differences. Yet it's one God, one being, one unified, beautiful divinity who shows himself to us as his three persons. So this caps off what the whole spring has been saying all along. This kind of puts the focus on the point. And then next Sunday, another special feast on the Eucharist, and then out into ordinary times, usual kind of simple rhythms. This is our transitional time, you might say, on these great feast days. So here's the thing. The Trinity is, of course, with us all the time. It's a central Christian dogma. It's what we believe in. When we make the sign of the cross, we invoke it. We use holy water or baptism, we invoke it. It's all over the place. We just don't often think about it because the idea that God is one and three has sort of faded into the woodwork now of our understanding of what it means to be Christian. It's not even interesting anymore. It's not even exciting anymore. So what I'll do is just spend a second or two outlining maybe what brought the church once upon a time briefly, it's a long, long story, I'll give a short version, to this dogma. And I do it because I want to make some parallels between that whole discussion, which was hard, in our current cultural moment, which is also hard about different topics, but they're related to today's feast day. That's kind of the roadmap that we'll try and do here briefly in the next few minutes. So first of all, to get us to the early debates of the church for today's feast day, the question of today at the heart of this feast is, who is God? What's his identity? What does it mean to say that God is three in one? That is the dogma that we believe in, and so at the center is, who is he? Now, one thing to know about the debate that led up to making us say God is a Trinity, it was a long debate, one thing at the outset that we should know, there was a right answer, and there were lots of wrong answers. It took us a long time to figure that out. So we would say that to land on the right answer is the current profession of faith, that opening antiphon that we mouth without even thinking much about it, that was the right answer. But there are lots of other ways to think about it. So the answer, or the whole discussion was about truth. What is true? What is reality? God really is like something. You can't make it up. You can't invent it. He either is or he's not. Either he's four persons or he's two or he's three. There's some answers that are out and one is correct. So it's a conversation about truth. Truth is the word, right? What is truth? It's what reality is, and I can't make it up. I can only discover it. And once I discover it, it binds me to itself. So nobody goes inventing truth. Truth is truth. We are made to discover what it is. There's a truth about God. He had to show it to us. We couldn't find it on our own. He must show it to us. Also, second point, okay. This was a major topic once upon a time, who is God, because we realized that the truth of it impacted our salvation. If we got the answers wrong, then it meant that we couldn't be saved, our sins weren't forgiven, we couldn't go to heaven. So this whole, everything rode on the right answer. If God isn't who we think that he is, then we can't get our sins forgiven, there's no life after death, the baptism does nothing, the Eucharist means nothing. All this stuff rose and fell with what is the truth about God. So it's a huge debate, in part because the answer was so, so important. So the fact is, okay, the debate about the answer involved a few important things. And again, I'm making a parallel here to something currently. So first of all, we looked at the scriptures to figure this out. Well, who is God? What's salvation? The scriptures, if one looks at them carefully, don't always give us an absolutely clear answer. One must do some thinking and some reasoning and some parsing and some debating and some discussing. I can grab a passage here and something of St. Paul there and something Jesus said there, and I can land and end up in the wrong spot. So there had to be discussions about it. There was this priest, for example. His name was Arius. He lived in Egypt in the 3rd century or so. And he thought, looking at the scriptures, the same ones we all look at today, that Jesus was like a sub-creature of the Father. There's God the Father, and there's us, and Jesus is somewhere in the middle. Like he was like lower than, less than, wasn't always eternal, which we wound up finding out later on was the wrong answer. But for a while, it was a very, very popular idea. He defended it with the scriptures. He was a bishop, eventually, so he had all this authority. So you'd think maybe he got the right answer. The fact is, he did not. What eventually happened was that in terms of the European church, Arianism as a thought lasted almost 600 years. It was a long conversation, and at a important point in history, most bishops were Arians. They did not have the right answer. They were wrong about who God was. So the majority for a while had the wrong viewpoint in the church, which was really, really interesting. It was a political question too. So big debate, what's true, what's God? It was scriptural. It was political too, because the emperors got involved and the kings got involved and the local rulers got involved. And what they would do is they would say, in my territory, you're going to be Arians. In my territory, you're going to be the Orthodox belief. And they appointed their own bishops and they started their own arguments. And so this was a major political issue. It wasn't just religious. It was all mixed together. And that meant that the average person on the street, if you asked them the question, you know, are you an Arian? They would say, oh, yes, or oh, no, we're not one of those people. They all knew what was talked about. It was a common household discussion about who is God. Interesting. Today we'd be bored with that. We'd like, there's no football to watch. What's wrong with these people, right? But they knew this was majorly important stuff. Every person knew it was an argument. And it took a long, long time. Like I said, about maybe 600 years or so to finally nail this down. 6 centuries, give or take. So this is, okay, a lot of the mess and the hard, rough, and tumble that got us down as a church to today's articulation. Today's feast day lands right in the middle of an argument once upon a time. Who is God? 1 in 3. It was not obvious to figure it out. It was messy, political, difficult, theological. The church was divided. The scriptures were used on both sides. And finally, we landed on the truth of the right answer. But it was a hard road to get there. To the point where today, it's like I said, it becomes so common, we don't even think about it anymore. Like, oh yeah, the Trinity, who cares, right? But once upon a time, it was the topic. We came through all that. So I lay this out for a variety of reasons, for today's purpose anyway, because I do think, as I suggested, there are parallels with our current time period that are much like this debate once upon a time. And the answers to our current debates also, believe it or not, come back to today's feast day. The answers about today come back to who is God and what's the Trinity and what does that mean? So here's today's current world. So if once upon a time it was who is God, what's our central question of the current moment? What's driving things right now? What are the debates about right now? It's not who is God, it's who are we? Who is man? That's become the question of the day. What does it mean to reason, to think, to have a body, to be a person? What does it mean to be a male or a female? What is gender? Can one change genders? Can two men get married, or is that not possible or allowed? What brings life? What does it mean to have life in the womb? Is it protected or not? What does it mean to be a person who has self-defense versus public good? Call that the gun control debate right now in this country. What does it mean to deal with life on our borders or nursing homes or hospitals? What's a person in our mechanized, technological, fungible, fluid, flexible world? What is man? What is man and woman? That is the central question of our day. That's what's making the mess right now, everywhere. Consider, same parallels as the early debate. First of all, there's a right answer and there are wrong answers. Either you can be a changeable person, or you're not. Either two men can get married, or they can't. So there is really no middle zone on this. There is truth about it, just like this truth about God. And so what happens is we must land on what is true. I can't invent it, I can't make it up, I can't fabricate it, I can't create it. There's not your truth and my truth, there's only the truth about who I am as a person and who you are. That very statement today is already very controversial, but it is a fact. So there's lots of wrong answers, but there's only one right one. And we must land on it, just like they had to land on God once upon a time, for who is he? What is man? We must land on that too in our current world. It's an important question. Once upon a time, who is God impacted our salvation? This question impacts our current moment and our future. A society and a culture that cannot figure out what's a person doesn't have a future. We can't survive. We'll be carving each other up or doing bad things to each other or shooting each other off in the streets left and right. We need to figure this out, because if we don't, it destroys our present and it destroys tomorrow. So it's a very important question. Who is man? We must figure it out. Very important, right? And the current debate looks a lot like the prior one in a few key ways. First of all, one can look at different scriptural passages and probably land on some wrong answers to the point. If you kind of grab this verse here or grab this story there, we could say, well, maybe it's this. So there is a lot of careful thinking about the Bible that must take place right now to figure out what is man. It's easy to get it messed up, just like was true with who is God. It's also divided the church. Just like once upon a time, the Arian bishops were the majority, and they were ultimately wrong. There are many bishops today who are wrong on the point of who is man, and they are wrong on the point of who is marriage. Same thing for priests, many of them popular on social media. They are wrong on these questions, and the church has become divided like it was once upon a time. So we must sort our way through this very, very carefully, right? Just like back then it was political, it's political now too. The court weighs in, the president weighs in, the governor weighs in. We all weigh in because the topics impact everyday life. So it's not just a churchy thing, it's not just political, it's both. It's God and the church, politics, religion, all together, because it's a topic that impacts the whole person. Just like back then. Just like back then, everyone's got an opinion. If I asked you today, who is God, you'd say, I don't care. But if I say, what do you think about abortion or gun control or gender ideology, you'd all have an opinion. So we all know it's a topic, right? Just like back then. And to be honest with you, I think just like back then, the conversation today is messy and it's going to take forever. It will take centuries, friends. So we're probably at year like 40 or 50 right now out of 600. We've got a long way to go. In my lifetime, I will not see the end of the debate. Neither will anybody else in this room. It's going to be that hard for that long. It's the nature of these things on this planet. So I offer all this for perspective, right? We think that today's conversations, you know, are so unique or ugly or brutal, and the fact is we've been there before. Different topic, but same parallel things, right? So to come back to the Holy Trinity, right? Here is the thing. If one really wants to move forward on all the topics of today that are so hard, what's going to become clear to us as time passes is this simple fact, that today's feast day is actually the center of the answer to all the questions about who we are. Once upon a time, the church put this feast on the calendar to help solve the arguments of who is God. A pope said, you know what, since we're fighting about this, we need a feast day to proclaim Trinity, Trinity from the housetop, so we all know what it is. Our prayer is going to teach us the answer. Today, same thing. Our prayer will teach us the answer to the topics that are so, so messy. And it goes like this. If one understands who God is, who our Creator is, then one knows who we are as his creatures. We look like him. It's as simple as that. And so if I know that I look like the God who made me and what God is like, I'll know what I'm like. So if God is a unity of persons that are different, but they come together, marriage is the same. If Son and Holy Spirit and Father can't switch identities, same thing for men and women. We can't switch identities. We are static in that way. So everything else kind of trickles out from there. Who God is explains who I am and who you are and how we live together, and in society and as persons. So the answer is right in front of us. It's there all the time. We just have to kind of get it clarified, you might say, around the edges. So we're in God's image and likeness. Personhood is sacred. Marriage is sacred. It's a communion of differences, not sames. So all of this comes back to who is God. So today's feast has the answer, if one only wants to press into it like one needs to. So I guess I'll end with this, right? What's the point of all my rambling on today? One, we shouldn't be surprised about the debates of our time. They're necessary, they are hard, they are difficult, but they are about what is so important about the world. What's a person? That's what we must understand. And the beautiful thing is that in Revelation, we've been shown it. So if one thinks that we're going to solve the current debates and politics alone without bringing in God, we are mistaken. The only way forward is just like once upon a time, God must show us. And he has done so in his scriptures, in his church, in philosophy and reason, in mere simple biology. It's all right here. He's shown us the answers to our questions. We just have to listen and fight it out for a while until we understand what is really, really true. There's also a right answer. It's not unsolvable. It will get solved because there is truth. We're just reaching out to grab onto it. That's our current situation. And we will get there as time passes. And we should praise God for giving us the answers. We don't stumble around in the dark like people without any idea. We have all these great gifts at our disposal to help us with these hard conversations. So we should praise God today, long story short, for being a communion of persons who makes us like himself, who can reason, who can think, who are people of community after community, a communal God. He is one in three. We are one in our differences and his grace. It answers all of our questions. So no despairing, no getting annoyed. It's important. It's challenging. It's going to take a long time, but it's so necessary, and we can't sit it out. We must dive into it and jump into it with full force as a church and as people who know that God has spoken on all these topics because he loves us too much to leave us in the dark about who we are as his creation. Trinity Sunday, therefore, not just about who God is, it's about how he made us in his image and likeness. We praise him, we thank him, and we ask his Holy Spirit to enlighten our hearts and minds to help us to know what is the truth about him and about us.